Now, as you can see, the female-producing X chromosome is clearly larger than its counterpart.
It's a girl!
We are from Venus.
Your goal is to do cardio or an aerobic workout at least 3 days a week.
When I grow up, I want to be an architect.
When I grow up, I want to be a mother, a ballerina, and a doctor.
We are from Venus.
And lift! We're almost done. Don't give up now. You can do it.
Good morning. This is Donna Mack, and you're listening to Vital Women on 96.1 WSRS. We come in all shapes and sizes, from different kind of backgrounds and ethnic groups. But one thing's for sure, we are better women when we work together to accomplish what we set out to do. And that's the goal of our Vital Women program, to show you the steps women have taken to get to where they are.
Now, by the power invested in me, let no man put us under. Now, our blood flows through each other, loyal forever. Raise our voices.
If you ever feel you need a bit more courage to make a change, fight a fear, or accomplish that goal you've always wanted, you'll want to connect with my featured guest today on Vital Women. She's Michelle Y. Drake. Michelle's experience understanding people and seeing their strengths is vast. She's helped to shape lives on a personal level, in educational settings, and in business. Michelle Drake aspires to help people live whole lives, always cognizant of how powerful we truly are. She's doing that in numerous ways. She's a business strategist, a life skills coach, a motivational speaker, an author, and she's ready to launch a first-of-its-kind facility intended to enhance our lives. All the details and some inspiration now from Michelle Y. Drake on Vital Women.
To me, it's a bridge. So it's a health center that bridges traditional and alternative in healthcare. Mm-hmm. And by healthcare, that's a really broad concept. You care for your health by the food you put in it, by the way that you exercise, by the way that you care for your body when you're sick, by the way that you prevent getting sick. Mm. So it's all of those things, by the way that you speak internally in your mind. It's body, mind, and soul is what we're really looking to try and bring together under one place and help people really become responsible for their health.
And it also sounds like a place that will simplify their lives simply because it's all under one roof.
Absolutely. Proximity. None of the things that are in our centers are particularly unique. They all are proven businesses that people want and need. The uniqueness of our center is that we just collected them all. We're putting them all under one roof.
So what will
it? So that it's easy for people to grab something healthy to eat on the way out of bringing Susie to the doctor's or after going and taking a yoga class or having a chiropractic adjustment or having a spa treatment, something that's going to help with their health of their skin, with their stress levels. So it's nice to be able to address the time issue that most people have, which is that there's never enough of it.
Right. Do you have a number? How many different entities it will encompass?
In, right. Well, it's really three major areas. Medical in a broad sense. So health, medical and alternative practitioners. And there will be
numerous.
A variety of them. Yeah, I would say probably 10 different disciplines. And then there'll be an area that focuses on food, whether it takes the form of natural foods in a restaurant form or in a retail form. So there'll be a section on what do we actually put into our bodies. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be a section that's focused on healing your mind and spirit. And so there'll be art gallery, and there'll be a meditation walk. There'll be treatments that are for massage, facial, things that you do to be good to yourself and refuel yourself to be able to go out and lead the powerful life that, you want. Right. So there's going to be a big variety of things, and it's a big undertaking, and it's scary.
I bet.
Exciting and scary.
Well, welcome to life.
So, yes, absolutely.
And you've jumped in.
Yes, I must be an adrenaline junkie. Well, because I love this stuff.
Right,
we are so excited. Mm-hmm. And I'm so blessed to have business partners that are incredible. I've got my husband, who is one of the partners in this. We've got on the Cove Health team, we've got a fantastic chiropractor who's on board and really bringing the medical dimension. For me, I bring the business aspect of it. I bring the creativity. In another life, I managed a spa. So I bring that dynamic, really establishing the corporate culture and the customer service. My husband has a construction background and brings the whole very analytical engineer perspective to getting this facility exactly the way we need it to be a destination point, because that's how we see it. This is going to be something that local people use, but that people come to because it's going to be incredible. And then we also have kind of our networking guy. He's local to the first pilot location, and he just is talking to people and networking and really focusing on how we position ourselves for success and get people in the door and make the process easy. So, you know, I have a lot on my plate this is only one of the projects that I have on my plate. I have a lot on my plate, but I am very fortunate to have incredibly brilliant, passionate, hardworking, dedicated people that are a part of the teams that I'm on in the different business projects that we're working on.
Now, you told me this place will take care of our bodies, minds, and souls. Then you turned around and you told me that you really helped to run the business end of it. But I think you also helped to run the soul end of this corporation.
Absolutely. I will play a very pivotal role in the feel and the feeling of the place. I also will. I do motivational speaking programs. I do team building programs, and those types of pieces will run as events in this center. We'll also be running. We'll have flat screens in any of the waiting areas. There will be things that aren't just throwing media at people, but that are there to try and refuel. So there'll be inspirational messages, and there will be video pieces and audio pieces that are playing that I will play a pivotal role in. And people may be like, way too much, Michelle. But I don't think so. I think that the idea is to be drawing in the gifts of everyone. And that really, for me, is what I think I excel at. I excel at helping people see their gifts and then doing something with them.
Right.
So to me, that's a big piece of this. And I know that the construction aspect, I get to kind of step back and work on other projects that I have while we're in construction. But as soon as we get to hiring, and I guess that's what I meant by the business of it, you have to have the right people, because the right people in an organization like that to be able to really put your customer in a place of peace. Because it's scary to go to the doctors. Mm. And in some levels, if you've never had any type of spa treatments, it's a little scary to be opening yourself up vulnerably in that kind of a scenario. So the whole concept of having people that are going to immediately put the clients at ease is really important. We've actually dedicated one position in the organizational structure to the customer. So there'll be managers of all these different divisions, but then there'll be someone who's just in charge of listening to the customer. And that person will drive a lot of the events that we do and really will be able to let us say, okay, you think you know, but you really don't. I was sitting in the waiting room the other day talking to these these four people, these four patients, and they would like to see. Right.
And that evolves over time.
Absolutely.
Things change.
Right. We can think in the beginning to launch it that we know. We've done our research. We are our own demographic. I would be the kind of person who, I want one in my backyard.
Right, right.
So, but we could easily go and move off the mark. So that position becomes key.
To build a place like this, Michelle Drake, from the Cove Group on Vital Women, you obviously have to understand people's psyches. You have to understand not only where they are, but where they want to be and the steps they need to take in order to get there. And basically, this is what you have been doing for the past, at least 15 years now. You were a life coach, really, before life coaches became popular.
Right, before there was any kind of, are you a certified life coach?
There was not that. Right.
So, yes, I've been doing this a long time.
And how did you get to that point in your life?
Well, it's kind of interesting in that my background is I have a business degree, a marketing and management degree. So marketing is really about understanding where people are coming from, the mind of the consumer. Then I went back to school and got a teaching degree. Mm-hmm. And so now you're looking at developing the minds of students. And when I was teaching the business courses at the college level, I was asked to go out and speak independent of the college, but kind of on behalf of the college to businesses. And as I started that process, it kind of evolved into an advisory type of role that I would play. I would come in and do training for a business, and then the management would come and ask me for some sessions to speak about either where they were going with their careers, where the business was setting. So it started out strictly business and kind of started to lean into what do I do with my life? Because work is such a big part of everyone's life that really understanding and being happy in your work becomes a big part of how are you happy in your life and how are you leading a life that you feel passionate about and that has an impact in your own eyes. So the choice to be home with kids is a powerful, meaningful life to the person that wants that and wants to be doing that. And opening a bakery is a powerful and meaningful choice for the person who has that gift and wants to share it. And running a huge corporation is a meaningful and powerful life for the person that gets joy out of that. Mm-hmm. The problem I find as a life skills coach is that people aren't always doing the thing that they feel is meaningful and powerful. They're doing the thing that is just what they do. They happen to, at 17 years old, when we know pretty much zero about what we want to do in the world, right, as far as our life, we make these career choices. We spend huge amounts of money on college and technical schools and, the School of Hard Knocks, and then feel obligated to use those degrees.
And to stay there,
yes.
Knowing deep down inside that this isn't it.
Hating your job, hating to get up in the morning. To me, it fuels so much of the unhappiness in so many other aspects of your life. If you're unhappy with your work and you're required to spend a minimum of 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, doing something that is killing you, literally, physically, emotionally, mentally, what you have when you come home is not a joyful thing to give.
Right.
What you have when you come home is a shell of who you are. So it's a very funny line in that a lot of my coaching is business coaching, but it always flows over into the life skills pieces.
And everybody seems to be seeking and needing. Rewind 20, 25, 30 years ago, Nobody ever talked about this stuff. Are you happy? Are you really happy? Are you doing what you really feel as though God made you to do? You know, I mean, it's so important now.
It was, are you taking care of your family? Do my kids have food? Do I have a house over my head? Mm-hmm. And you just do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've grown as a society. And we have so many more options, especially as women. You know, 25, 30 years ago, my first job was in sales. It was in Manhattan, and I was the first woman that they had ever hired. I was the first woman sales rep at this company. That, like, boggles my mind. I am totally not old enough.
What did you sell?
To be able to look back at their computers and office equipment.
Wow.
And it was amazing because I remember feeling like, all of this pressure.
Yeah.
But I also remember my mom saying to me, you're so lucky you have all these choices. Mm. Because for her, it was, you're a nurse, you're a teacher, you're a homemaker.
Mother. Right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I even was able to kind of blaze that trail at all was gigantic.
Paint a picture for us. Give us a minute on, oh my goodness, what life was like. You obviously had no role models.
None.
Was it difficult? Were the guys tough on you?
You know, some were and some weren't. I was a novelty. They didn't expect a whole lot. They just were kind of shutting up a quota, I think.
Right, EOE.
They just were like, yeah, if she doesn't get in our way too much, then we'll be happy. And, you know, I was a young, single, fairly attractive gal.
Blonde.
Yeah, blonde. And
she'll sell something.
Right. I got into places in the city, you have to be able to get past the lobby to even go talk to anybody.
Right.
And so cold calling in New York is like, I mean, now you could never do it with security and everything. But even then, you had to be able to get past the guy in the lobby, which many of my peers couldn't. And
guess what?
I was able to. So, you know, it was, I remember feeling like I was under tremendous pressure. Mm. I remember being put in a room with all of the equipment and about 25 manuals because nobody wanted to train me because it wasn't time that was really worth investing. And so it was, you have a week, learn what you need to learn.
Figure it out.
Mm. So, you know, I like a challenge. And
thank goodness.
And I really did enjoy my time. The technicians that were there, the support people, the guys there were fantastic. Mm. And they really did hook me up a lot. You know, they really helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. And there were a handful of salesmen there that really, I think I reminded them of like their daughters or something because they really were helpful also. There were a lot that tried to submarine. And my time doing that was brief because of, I might as well just lay it out there, a very violent incident that happened while I was working in the city.
Really?
I was there probably a little shy of a year doing the work and doing really well, but you were out, you were on your own, you were walking. My sales territory actually included the World Trade Center. Uh-huh. So that 9/11 had a very personal impact on me.
Having lived
down there and worked down there and, you know, worked in the buildings and, you know, it was hard. But my time in the city came to an end one morning the week before Thanksgiving of the year that I was there. I was attacked and badly beaten. And raped on my way into work, coming up from the subway. So it's interesting to me looking back, because now that was 23 years ago, mm-hmm. 24 years ago, that, you know, there are defining moments in our life. And for the good and for the bad of them, they shape who we are and how we see what a powerful life means, how we see, you know, why we're still here, why did I survive it, why did I live when there's lots of violent crimes that go on that people don't end up being able to walk away from. Right. And how do you pull yourself up and go on?
Well, how do you?
I think that if you've never had that kind of trauma, you almost don't believe that you'd be able to. But you just choose to do it. To me, it was all about not being re-victimized. Mm-hmm. It was about how I saw myself. I saw myself as a survivor, and you know what? I would be damned if he was going to take away any more than he already had. And so, to me, it was almost like an in-your-face kind of response. Three or four days after, I went back in. I worked for about three or four more weeks to prove to myself that I could do it. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, that was when I decided to go back to school and get a teaching degree, to get my master's in education. And I think that it was mostly in response to everyone else around me.
Who suggested you do what?
Who were terrified for me. Mm-hmm. Who didn't want me. My father did not want me back in the city. And as a parent, I completely understand that. Uh-huh. And my husband was my boyfriend then. Mm-hmm. And he didn't live down. He was away at school, so he didn't live down here. I think everyone was a lot more comfortable with me kind of pulling in and regrouping, but I needed for myself to be able to demonstrate that I could still, that the New York City experience was not going to be defined by that one incident for me, because I love New York and I love New York still. And I go down and I work in New York, and I have for years. I choose not to do it on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So it's about understanding what's going to be healthy for you. And for me, I didn't deal with things right away, because I think that one of my big pieces is about funding programs that help women, especially women who have been the victim of violence, is just critical. I was put on a waiting list when I called.
Really?
So it was a year and a half or so before I got any help.
Any therapy,
any help. Because once I was told, okay, we'll put you on a waiting list, when I called to the organization that I did, I shut back and said, okay, I'll get busy, I'll get on with my life. Mm-hmm. I launched into school full-time, planning a wedding full-time, and working full-time. You know, mm-hmm. all of my time was accounted for. There was no time to think.
And who's to say that that was even wrong? I mean, those were the tools you had to deal with
right.
at that particular time.
Absolutely.
So in a way, it did save you.
Absolutely. I mean, taking control, I think that's what it was about. It was about me taking control. Because when you've survived a crime like that, it's about, you were not in control in that situation. It's all about control. It's not about the act.
Right.
It's about that person wanting to control and dominate someone.
You never caught him.
And no. Yeah. No. And for me, it was about me controlling and taking control back of my life. And that made me feel better.
Mm-hmm. It probably fueled... It definitely fueled who you are now.
Absolutely. I think, though, that for me, the ability to make that choice of pushing through what I was afraid of, because believe me, I felt like I was going to throw up the whole way in when I went back into the city. Every single day for those 3 weeks that I worked, when I went back in, I felt sick all of the time. I would see little flecks of light. I was sure I was going to pass out, throw up, all of those things, but I pushed through it. And I truly believe that an incident, that a course that I took in college is what gave me the power to be able to know I could overcome the fear I was feeling. Mm-hmm. So the best advice that I give any of my clients and any of my friends, anybody who wants to listen to me, is to find and face your fear. Once you believe that you can overcome it, you don't believe you're never going to be afraid again, because that's totally unrealistic. But once you believe you can get through the fear, you can do anything. The fact that I got back on that train and went back into the city to me completely proves that point. When I was in college, I had to jump off a building for a final exam, and I was terrified of heights. And I did everything I could to get out of it, and in the end, I jumped off the building. Mm. I rappelled off the building with a rope. So to me, what I felt at the bottom was power. Complete and total, I can do anything. And I have taken that and have applied it to traumatic and positive and happy and all these other types of challenges, knowing that I could get through that fear. I was terrified of giving birth. I have two kids. I was terrified. I knew I could get through it. So it's like the happy things are sometimes scary as well. This Cove Health, it's scary. And that's why, I mean, maybe I'm an adrenaline junkie. I like to be able to push myself through that because I know what I get at the end.
Right.
The sense of accomplishment at the end is worth going through the pain of the fear. So I think when you're doing what you love, you will push yourself through things. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, another reason that I've been drawn to help people find their passionate life, their powerful life. It feels like a calling. I know that sounds a little whoo, but it's a calling for me. Mm-hmm. It's what I believe I was placed here to do.
Mm-hmm. And you've been open enough over the years to listen to yourself and to find that and to explore the possibilities slowly but surely. Because when I think of everything that you've lived through and the evolutions that your life has gone through, you have been open to the possibilities.
Right. Change doesn't scare me. Mm. And that's big. Because I've adapted to change, so change doesn't scare me. And that, I think, is one of the biggest fears for people. It is not of what the actual change is. I'm not afraid of this new job. I'm afraid of the process of changing to
right.
it. But yeah, being open and listening to the little voices, to the quiet time. You know, being comfortable in quiet is critical, and a lot of people aren't. And I have to say that it was something I had to learn how to do. I'm a very social creature. I like to be with people. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm my best with people. And so I really had to learn how to listen to my quiet.
To give yourself that X amount of minutes each and every day. We've been hearing this forever.
Yep.
It centers you. And women don't do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it centers you. It makes you a better you. Mm-hmm. For me, it makes me a better me. Mm-hmm. That I walk in the morning, I take it's like a meditative / exercise walk.
Right, which is
there
good.
Are four beaches in my neighborhood, and I meditate on, as I pass each of the beaches and walk down and through them, I meditate on a different aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. So one of the beaches, I meditate on the smallness of me in the world. Mm-hmm. and the largeness of everything that there still is to do and my place in that. One of the beaches, they always called it Mommy Beach. And it was because all of the mommy, it was kind of tucked away so nobody could see the mommies in their bathing suits, I think. And all the mommies would go to this one beach in our neighborhood, and I reflect on me as a mother. I reflect on my children. I reflect on my marriage as I pass that beach. And we've got a beach that there's a dirt road with all these big holes and everything that leads up to it. And at that beach, I reflect on the obstacles of my life. I reflect on what I have overcome and what I may yet have to overcome. Mm-hmm. And kind of focus on my strength and feel good that I know that I have strength and that it's a blessing to help other people discover their strength. So for me, that type of quiet time is really important. Mm-hmm. Because historically, my quiet time hasn't always been positive. You know, I've had dark periods, and in those dark periods, the way that our own little voice talks to us sometimes is shameful.
Nasty, oh, absolutely.
Oh, mm-hmm. The worst, mm-hmm. The worst.
We are our own worst enemy. Hate to use the cliche, but isn't it the truth?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things that we say to ourselves, we would never in a million years say to anyone else. You're fat. I'm fat. I'm stupid. I'm I'm not worth this.
How could I have made that decision?
Yeah. What was I thinking? And in tones, I mean, the nuances of your voice is incredible. So one of the things that we really focus on and that I'm focusing on is developing how to help people develop their quiet time and how to find that precious voice that's in there that's really, for some people, has been bashed down by that other voice that needs to come out in order to live really a fulfilled life. Mm-hmm. Because that's what it's about. It's about, at the end, being able to look back and say, I might have done some things different, but it was a pretty cool ride.
Michelle Y. Drake. For more information, people can visit your website. That's MichelleYDrake.com. Thank you, first of all, for making Vital Women here on 96.1 WSRS possible. I so appreciate you sponsoring me this time around and for this three-month time frame, truly.
It's my pleasure. You're doing important work.
Thank you. I feel like I am too. And thank you for helping us have a clearer vision for our life. And hopefully we can eliminate some of those negative messages. And you know what? It all could be over tomorrow, couldn't it?
It absolutely could. So there really, you really can't wait. Mm. That you can't put it off. Mm-hmm. It has to be a choice you make today.
For more, just go to MichelleYDrake.com. And again, Michelle Drake, thank you for
being part
of Vital Women and for sharing.
Thank you.
On 96.1 WSRS. If you know of a woman who could be featured on this program, remember, she doesn't have to be rich and famous, just down to earth and inspiring. Let me know. Head to our website, WSRS.com, and click on Vital Women. Remember, we are better women when we work together. Vital Women, every Sunday morning at 7:30 on 96.1 WSRS.